And a good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist with Immunutrition here in Madison, Minnesota. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. Made it through the Halloween holiday, and now we're pushing Thanksgiving, working our way toward Christmas.
We are.
A lot of nutrition things we can talk about, because a lot of those holidays involve an awful lot of food.
An awful lot of food.
And we want to eat our food safely.
We do.
And I would know that.
You do.
That's kind of something I said last week that kind of tipped off
Yes.
What our future is going to be this week. We're talking about food safety.
We are. And Halloween, we don't really need to worry about food safety as much, because from a perspective of what we're doing to keep our food safe, because most of it's packaged, right? So companies that are doing testing and all of that, they're monitoring food safety for us.
Right.
But when it comes to Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of these gatherings, potlucks that are going to happen, especially now that we're through kind of that peak of COVID and people are starting to gather in larger groups again, work things are happening a lot more. Food safety is going to be kind of important.
That's right. And I know that for a fact.
You do.
And during the holidays, my little story is somebody's kind enough to drop off a meat and cheese tray for us here at Q92,
yes,
which we appreciated. You know, we set it on the
of
counter.
Course.
And Terry and Paul and I, in particular, the three of us were eating quite a bit of meat and cheese off here. And we put it back in the refrigerator and take it out the next day and set it out and put it back in the refrigerator, take it out, put it back for a couple of days. And apparently somebody left it out a little bit too long.
Mm-hmm.
So that evening, the three of us all at the same time in three different locations got deathly ill.
Yeah, yes.
From something, and we weren't sure what it was. We were blaming our relatives' cooking.
I was going to say, initially you blamed my aunt.
Yeah, well, thought it was her bad cooking or something. And then when we got to talking after we rendezvoused later, comparing stories, we kind of traced it back to this meat and cheese tray that sat out a little bit too long. So,
which you've been a little reluctant to eat off of since then.
Yes, whenever I see meat and cheese trays, or if I go to a wedding, you know,
yeah,
especially if there's eggs sitting there or something,
yes,
things have been out for a while, I'm thinking, I'm not going near this. Give me the cashews and the mints.
Yeah, the safe things.
Right.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to talk about today.
We are, yes. And you're not alone. November and December are one of the peak times for foodborne illness throughout the year, because there are so many different ways that bacteria can get introduced into your food when you're going to these different gatherings. So we'll hit briefly on each of them. But I think it's important to tell people, to kind of remind people, that for most people, foodborne illness is going to last a day or two. It's not going to be something that puts you in the hospital. However, for people who are, well, for infants, for pregnant women, for the elderly, for people who are immune compromised, anybody who's just got something else going on with their body might be at greater risk for ending up in the hospital or even death. Foodborne illness can certainly lead to death. Most people will just have some pretty uncomfortable diarrhea for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So it's possible that even if you think you've never had foodborne illness before, that you did and you just thought, I had a stomach bug, or I caught something from one of the kids, or something like that. But even if you haven't had it before, it doesn't mean you can't get it.
Right. And it went away pretty fast, but
yes,
wasn't much fun when we had it.
I have one known incident of foodborne illness myself, and it lasted about 6 hours, but it was the most uncomfortable 6 hours physically that I can remember in quite a while. I also want to say I'm not anti-germ. I think that it's really important for us to be exposed to bacteria and viruses in a healthy way, so that we can build up that gut diversity, so we can strengthen our immune system, so we can build antibodies. But foodborne illness is not one of those healthy ways to get exposed to things. So we
can, now you tell me.
Yeah. We can introduce bacteria in a lot of different ways. So we can introduce it when we're making and preparing food, when we're sharing food, when we leave food out or transport food, and then even with leftovers. So when we're thinking about making food, there's the obvious hand hygiene, right? Important to wash your hands. That's a pretty simple one right there. Before you start preparing the food, if you've touched any raw meat, really every time you move to a next step, you should be washing your hands. It's also important to keep our foods at safe temperatures. So keeping it like thawing appropriately is a big one, especially when we're thinking about turkeys rolling into the next couple weeks. Just a reminder for people, it might take several days to thaw your turkey. So look at your turkey and read the directions, because the best way for us to thaw it, the safest way for us to thaw it, is in the refrigerator. But that will take days.
Don't leave it out on the counter for a week.
Don't put it out on the counter at all, ideally. So the least safe way of thawing our meat is on the counter. You can thaw it in cold water, but then that cold water needs to be changed like every 30 minutes. So when we think about making food, there's probably three big foodborne illnesses that can get introduced here. That's salmonella. Most people have heard of that. Norovirus and campylobacter. So those are the three ones that are most likely, and all three of those can come from, well, salmonella and campylobacter most likely come from raw poultry. And then norovirus, usually it's going to come on something that you're eating raw that was handled by an infected person. There are certainly other ways that those can get introduced into your food, but those are the most common. So then thinking about that, when we share food, we've got a bunch of people putting their hand into the veggie tray, which is raw veggies already, which are high risk. Now we've got all these little germs, kids sneezing on them, all those different things. Salmonella, norovirus are probably the most likely from sharing food. So if you can have tongs, if you can have, you know, easy ways for people to grab their food, that's best. We can also get staph. So we don't typically think of staph infections as digestive problems. We tend to think of it more as skin infections. But most of us have staph on our skin. So if you are exposed to that through your food, usually vomiting versus diarrhea, although diarrhea certainly can go hand in hand with it. And that one can come on a little quicker, like even 30 minutes after you've eaten it, but up to 8 hours too. And then food left out. So leaving food out and transportation of food are two of the biggest ones. We call it the danger zone, from 40 degrees to 140 degrees. When your food is sitting in that range, food that should be hot or cold, when it gets into that range of 40 to 140 degrees, bacteria thrive. So it's really important for us to get foods back into a refrigerator or a freezer within 2 hours of them being at their safe temperature. And if you're gonna be traveling with leftovers, bring a cooler. Try to cool that food down before you get in the car. One of the big ones with leaving food out is something called Clostridium perfringens. Have you heard of that one before?
Oh, yeah. I've yeah. talked about that a lot.
That's the most common one. That's the one I got from scrambled eggs at a cafeteria. But large batches of food that are left at unsafe temperatures. So that one can come on 6 hours to 24 hours. It's another one that usually doesn't last more than a day. But it's a very common one this time of year because we're cooking for large groups of people. So a lot of these will come on, you know, probably 4 to 6 hours or a day or two afterward, but it could be 5 or 6 days later that you're seeing symptoms of some of these foodborne illnesses. And then the last thing for us to be aware of is leftovers, especially Thanksgiving is notorious for leftovers. How many times should you reheat food, especially meat?
Once.
You're right. Good job.
I had a feeling like that was the answer.
Yes. So if you have a turkey and then you make soup out of that turkey, when you make that soup is the last time you should be heating that meat. We shouldn't make the soup and then reheat it again the next day or several days later. Same thing if you've got a large group of people, you put the leftovers in the fridge because everyone's kind of done eating. You take it out and reheat that whole container of stuffing that's left over. We can't put it back in the fridge and heat it up again. Every time we cool it, warm it, cool it, warm it, cool it, warm it, we're introducing the opportunity for bacteria to thrive. So keep your foods cold if they're supposed to be cold. Keep them hot if they're supposed to be hot. Travel with ice packs. Wash your hands and just be safe about your food.
Maybe have a cold turkey sandwich or something.
There you go. Yeah. You can absolutely do that. Yeah. Cold turkey is a great way to go about it.
There you go. That'll last a little longer that way.
It will.
All right. That's my tip of the day.
I love it. I think it's a great one.
All right. And when transporting salad in a large glass bowl, watch out on the steps.
Watch for the ice.
That's nothing. That's just for your own safety.
Especially if you're going to turn around and say, hey, be careful on the ice.
Look out for the ice. Yeah, yeah, you saw that. So
I did. Yeah, okay. Yes.
That's a topic for another
it
day.
It is. Another, yes.
That kind of food safety.
That's more walking safety.
It is.
Winter safety.
All right. Well, if anybody has any questions on food safety or anything to do with nutrition or their diet.
Yes.
You'd be happy to talk to them.
Absolutely. You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or on Facebook at imunutrition, or call here to the radio station, and you can always get them in touch with me.
And you ate some Lutefisk the other night, too, by the
way.
I did. What did you think about that? Have you ever tried it before?
I have tried Lutefisk one time previously. I think I was like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And I haven't eaten it since. So it's almost 30 years since the last time I had it.
So you kind of took one for the team this time.
I did. Yeah. I said, if there are 49 contestants, I'll be number 50. And then Andy said, you're in.
Yeah. Well, you lived anyway.
I did. And it wasn't bad.
That's right. Haven't heard anybody having any illnesses from the Lutefisk.
So no, I think we all made it.
Yep. All right. Well, Amber, we'll see you again next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.